welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. We are actually live this afternoon.
Yeah, no pre-recording.
What do I know?
Well, we're
this
on.
Morning.
Yeah.
This morning on May 5th in the afternoon at noon. So, anyway, happy to be back. I hope you enjoyed the shows from April. Holy cow, we had a great lineup for you. So if you missed any of those, you should go back. We used Earth Day as kind of our springboard, and so we did a lot on the actual facts about the fake climate change and the fake CO2 crisis and all that. And so, yeah, if you don't believe one of the people we had on, listen to the other, what, four or five? And I think we still have Tom DeWeese in the can that so we can play him, and he did a very good job with that as well. It's kind of time we got serious on this thing. We keep talking, you know, they keep talking about it. We keep mitigating the rules changes, you know, all the crazy stuff having to do with that. And
well, climate change is happening right
now. Let's face it, it's fake.
It's almost 90 degrees, though.
Although kids are getting days off school to go protest it. So I guess if I was a kid, I'd be like, no, it's real.
No, the Earth is warming because I'm hot today.
So my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor today is Team Power, our local John Deere dealer up in Shasta Lake City. And anything you want as far as John Deere, go see them. They can take care of you. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard. And their phone number is 226-9226, or you can get them online at readingtractors.com.
And it's spring.
Yeah, so get in there.
They are jammed. Don't dilly-dally.
Yeah, don't dilly-dally. Get in, get out. Boy, they are cooking up there right now. So go ahead and see them, Team Power.
And for heaven's sakes, mow your darn grass.
Yeah, because it's growing like a foot a day.
So we can have fewer fires.
Yeah.
It's just be exciting this year to have no fires in Northern California.
Well, you're only going to get about a month of mowing now, and then it'll be brown and ready to burn.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Like,
hurry up, go mow it now.
Yeah,
mow your neighbor's field. Whatever it is, mow it.
Yeah, mow it down.
Oh, my goodness. So let's see. We've got... I don't know who we have. Do we have everybody? We do. Oh my gosh!
No,
it happened. It happened even without us. We were just sitting in here in the dark, in the dark microphone room.
That's because we have a great engineer.
I know, and Ashley. we don't get to talk to Ashley anymore. We just get to like give her smoke signals through the window. She's in another room now, but anyway, she does a really great job. And we thank her for that. She's been our stalwart helper this last month. Ashley's been actually doing the show by herself. So thanks for that, Ashley. You can find
Who do we have today?
Well, I kind of forgot at the beginning because I'm sort of out of step here. You can find everything about the show. We have a lot of sponsorship that comes in just from listeners, you know, not... I don't know. We don't have a whole bunch of business sponsors necessarily, but we like them too. So if you want to help out the show or promote it or just listen to stuff that actually is commercial free as soon as we air it by Monday, by late Sunday or early Monday, we have it up commercial free. We've got archives going back almost 10 years. You can find it all.
Where do you listen to that?
Well, I would go to wethepeopleradio.us.
Oh, there you go.
And then you can click on it and you can load like 1 hour, you can load the second hour, or you can load both hours. We've got options for you. And if you have any difficulties at all, Bill and I have our emails and phone numbers right on there. Right on the page. So you could call us or email us and let us know that you like it, you don't like it. If you don't like it, just don't listen. That's actually the easiest way. Send it to a friend. And we appreciate all the folks from outside the U.S. that listen to. And we would love to have topics from you if you have ideas for us. So we've got Peter Pry teed up for later in the month. And so I'm not sure if we'll be talking about the EMP Commission or something else. And then... going blank on what's at the end of the month. Something else at the end of the month. So we got some good stuff going forward for you, too. We've actually been doing a little planning, go figure. So today, we're going to talk about the asylum system. And we're not
non-system.
We're not really talking about Congress, although that's an asylum, too. Anybody who's been watching any of that. that there's a tremendous abuse of our asylum system. And really, we have a lot of root causes of our border crisis. And so we've got two experts that are going to talk about that, since Bill and I watch, you know, mostly the same news that you guys do. So rather than tell you what you already know, we'll bring people on who actually know stuff. So we've got Bruce Moran on here. He is from Security Solutions Technologies, which is a veteran-owned company. They provide federal government consulting, IT professional services, security assessments, a lot of cybersecurity, and that's kind of Bruce's bailiwick there, because he is their national security advisor. And then our good friend that always, I'm not sure if he accuses us or, I'm not sure how that works, but he always says we pay him $1.86 to come on. So I'll just beat him to that one. And that's our guest, Dr. Lyle Verpacki. He's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. And so he has been providing selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings since 2010. Does a lot with border security, and now he lives in Texas. So I don't know if he's broken into the Texas gang yet, but I would have no doubt that he has done that already. He's a super smart guy as well.
And I'm probably not going to need him down in Texas, because old Beto is he's just going to get rid of the wall. Won't need any border security. Just, shake their hand as they come across.
Or as what does Tucker Carlson call him?
Bateau.
So
with a fake Latin name.
So we got Bruce and Lyle today. They're going to enlighten us on what's really going on down on the border. And I think we've stopped calling it a fake crisis. I think we've...
Yeah, I think they've admitted there's a problem there.
Admitted it's a problem, so we can actually call it a crisis. We've got a lot of good stuff for you posted on the page today at wethepeopleradio.us, by the way. All right, fellers. Who wants to start out?
Well, Aaron, this is Dr. Lyle, and I would like to only take 30 seconds to, now just a minute, 30 seconds to say that I'm not upset, I'm very calm, but Bruce is getting $2.35 for this show, and he got a Starbucks card.
Hey, that was classified information. I thought we could trust you guys.
Well, but he's national security, so
Starbucks, with all of their shenanigans, is dead to us. Everyone will know that is a lie. I wouldn't walk into Starbucks if I was dying.
I'm still stuck at $1.86 to just show up on the show, and then I got to come in and mop up and vacuum afterwards. I don't understand. I don't understand how come I'm considered privileged.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I'm glad to be back on with Bruce. He'll carry the weight today.
I've been carrying a few things now and then.
Well, I hope you're not. I hope you're not part of the trash pickup in Chicago, because I hear that's not.
Oh, we're the ones that prepare the brunch before we come on the air. Well, I forgot to tell you that. So here we are, you know, all fed, ready to go, and as we know, there's a Immigration and Naturalization Act, which gives President Trump the right to do various sundry things on the border. One would be to freeze, you know, people coming back and forth, or to help support the border security system. We call it, have a comprehensive program, including a wall. What's not clearly understood is that when people are talking about border security, you're talking about a whole slew of supportive services that go in place when you're building a wall or a fence, and that's not always understood when they're talking about it with the American public. Say, Trump builds a wall. Well, that's not really the case at all. That's actually a fabrication by the media. And what we're talking about is you have drones, you have supportive technologies, thermal technologies that could, you know, view people moving, coming and going, same technologies that are used by the special forces, Navy SEALs. These are the kind of technologies that are going to be put on the border and be fully implemented. That's going to be a 24/7, you know, border security program. It's not going to be where there's any breaks or hollows in the border, and then you won't have these immigration problems we'll talk about.
So we won't see big groups of people running, you know, running across. I mean, it
travesty in and of itself.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart that We're not addressing a lot of the issues that are happening to the farmers and ranchers on the other side of the border, along with the crime. I mean, we have crimes on both sides of the border. The federales are, you know, some of them are on the take, and these people are coming through with the human smuggling. And as you look at the report that's on the web, we're talking about human smuggling, but it has many tentacles to it, including the trafficking part of women and children in the underground economy in a black market. So the report didn't cover it, but I'd like to just highlight that when we're talking about the border security crisis, it is more than most people make it out to be, and it has to be locked down. The ports of entry have to be gone through. What President Trump is talking about is a common sense approach that most people would take, but when you get involved with the politics that's going on, then you have people running for office to be president, and everybody's saying a lot of things that really aren't true. And we need to address these serious problems that are now pending and need funding on the border, which President Trump is now doing. And it's been 30 years. So Chuck and I worked on Secure Fence Act with Senator Frist. So it goes back. We've been on this for many, many years. We know the technologies are there, the technologies that need to be upgraded, and how we're going to deal with it by adding more border security personnel, you know, patrol people, and really have a 24/7 lockdown. It's just a proper and fitting thing to do. I'm not saying anything that's not outrageous. It's a political piece of action that's been never really addressed, and they need to make sure it's funded. Now, we're looking at funding that's somewhere.
Hold that thought, Bruce. We've got to take a really quick break here because we're kind of starting out on the tardy side. But you're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. That makes you guys sound so cool. I mean, the song's like a million years old, but it is still a cool song. So, Lyle, from your perch over there in Texas, what are you seeing?
Bruce makes some extremely valuable points right off the bat here. The border issues are multidimensional. It's not even as simple as people coming across the border. That's a problem in and of itself, but that is just really just the tip of the iceberg. Border Patrol this year to date, so from January to, let's say, May 1st, has apprehended approximately 500,000 illegals coming in.
Unbelievable.
And that's twice the number as last year. So that alone tells you we're in a problem, and that's not counting the thousands that are encamped on the south side of the border.
Right.
As you know, and Bruce and I have worked this now since last September, I think, Bruce, or October, the overflights that I've been able to have accomplished to actually take a look at the caravans and the invaders coming, and the numbers are astronomical. They are in the hundreds of thousands. The intent is to bring 1 million people over our border this year, and they're I just got done telling you, they're 500,000.
Yeah, they're going to surpass that.
They're going to surpass that. correct. And what Bruce is saying then is one level of how do we deter that, but then you've got medical issues, you've got the actual operation of Homeland Security, Border Patrol, and acquired technology. You've got to keep that up. Who, you know, where's the carpenter that's building the platform to put the monitor on? I'm being really elementary. You've got layer upon layer of mission support that needs to be implemented. Some has, and yet there's pushback by the Socialist Democrat Party because it fits their narrative. They do not want, and they've said so very clearly, do not want border security. They do not want a national sovereignty intact. They believe the nation should be open to anyone and everyone, and they have proven that. And that in itself has also created multiple problems, even away from the border, as we know with the murders, the terrorist acts, etc. And when the suspect is captured, we come to find out that they're illegally in this country, or sometimes three and four and five times illegally. So right. What Bruce is beginning to discuss is a horrendous problem just financially if we don't get this border secure.
And well, there was a story, I think it was last week, where they had videotape of a group of migrants that actually had an armed escort bringing them over and dropping them off on our side of the border. Did they ever determine who the armed people were? Were they Mexican government people? Were they smugglers? Did we ever find out?
Those are the kind of questions that we ask, but we know the answers because it's multivariate. You have lone wolf operators that are smuggling. You have cartels that are working with lone wolves. You have operators that are holding what we call safe homes around the border. And there are those who can afford to come across the border and pay a larger sum. And when you see this big push coming at the border with what you saw with the armed guard, but there's another group of people coming across that are paying more money, and they're sneaking across while that's going on. So they're acting as a facade, as many can get across that can't afford to pay, and then you have those who are paying at different levels that are coming across, and there are operators that move from the Mexican border and give people rides all the way to L.A. This is all documented. I'm not making any kind of examples up. This is all documented by the DEA, by the Department of Homeland Security, by the RAND study. And what we're looking at is multiple levels of gaming the system. And the system is well known for 30 years. People coming in from Guatemala, people coming in from the Honduras and El Salvador, they'll pay money to get Mexican false IDs. So if they get caught, they get to go back into Mexico. They don't have to go back to El Salvador. They don't have to go back to Honduras. So they're paying extra money, and then they're learning, you know, the little tidbits of information they need to do to get asylum. So the whole asylum method for getting across on the American border is changing. And that's what President Trump has just instituted, a program to effectively work with the Department of Homeland Security and the Border Patrol people. And then we might have an institution of armed forces down there to back up, so it frees up the Border Patrol to do their jobs more. And then they're also going to be building more retention facilities. So that will not help identify the families. And now we're instituting, and Lyle and I were talking about this 2 days ago, DNA testing. Because then you'll know who the real family members are and who aren't.
Instead of just people who snatched up a child and pretended to be a family?
Right.
Yes, well, but it goes beyond that because the child is coming across every time.
Yeah.
They won't be allowed to come across four or five times in a year period. See what I'm talking about now?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce opens a good door again.
With cartel members.
I don't think he can hear you.
Hold on, Bruce. What were you saying, Lyle?
Well, Bruce opens another doorway here, which is very germane, and that is the financial aspects of the business of smuggling. I think we all understand there's a business aspect to the smuggling of drugs. I think people probably now, because it's been going on for so long, understand there's a business aspect of smuggling humans. I think Bruce will probably, we'll talk about that later, because that's a cash cow, that's an industry in and of itself, is human smuggling. The children, and this can be arguable, I'm too old, people can argue with Bruce, but I'm too tired, but it could be anywhere from 5,000 to, well, depends on who you're talking to, and, you know, we keep getting this intel and keep narrowing it down, but even the best of the days, it's still within a range. So to move a child up from Mexico, and again, Bruce makes a great point because they're coming from Honduras and who knows, Africa, but they get Mexican papers, and so that way, if they're caught, they go back to Mexico, not to Africa, and that's really pretty brilliant because they're halfway here already that way. But to move a child, you're looking at $5,000 to $7,500. It could be higher, $10,000. I've seen that. I think Bruce has seen those numbers. But let's say $5,000 to $7,500, and they move a child up in here, and they give them to a coyote, and the coyote's paid to get the child into America. And if the child does make it all the in free, then the idea is the parents will follow, hence the name anchor babies. The baby gets up here, the child gets up here, they anchor themselves in American culture, and then the rest of the family follows suit.
Well, where do they get $5,000 or $7,000 to bring a child? These people are practically indigent. Are they being paid by the cartels and then they piggyback drugs in on the parents or what?
It's a whole range of people are coming in because they can get in at the southern border. They're coming in from India, Africa. They may have money and they may want to get in.
And we have a lot coming in from the Middle East too, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to go into that one because then we have the whole conversation with terrorists.
And, yeah, but I mean, that is a...
No, but I can spend a whole 2 hours talking about that problem as it relates to national security, and then they're embedded in Texas and training kids in jihadist methods to go into our grammar schools and kill people. We all know about that, but that's a whole different conversation.
See, I don't think people...
keep on the asylum part of it and how people are usurping our system. They've been doing it for 30 years, so they know how to game the system, and then not only game it, they're able to make a large profit off it. It's billions of dollars. So,
and
it's in addition to what they're doing to arms trafficking, and then you're talking about drug trafficking, and then the insidious part, and it's ugly, is the, you know, kids coming across to use them in prostitution with the young girls, and that's MS-13. So you had that. You know, that's a whole area of discussion that we can go into, and Lyle's adept at that, but I like to keep it on asylum and what we're doing now to shore up support in the American public so they know how critical, how important, how serious this national security crisis is, and we need to do something about it yesterday.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about the, be more specific, about the failure of the asylum system now, because I think people, I don't know if people are really tuning into the fact that a lot of these asylum claims are coached. They're working our system against us, basically. And so it would be nice to outline some of that, because I don't think the media is doing a real good job of that, and they're making it look like we're just being mean to people who are here, you know, desperately fleeing violence, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a whole different trend taking place on that. So we'll be right back with our guests, Bruce Moran and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Somebody squeals. It's the lure of easy money. immigration scene, shining and feeling clean. Could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in. Let me in. Immigration man, can I cross the line and break? I can stay another day. Let me in. Immigration man, I won't.
Okay. I know you guys are in different cities. You can't see each other and you have no way to communicate. So this is a stupid way to ask this question. I'm just going to put the disclaimer out there. But who wants to talk about the asylum rules? Oh, wait, no one. I actually didn't anticipate that. That's the third option.
asylum rule or the Immigration and Naturalization Act?
I don't know.
Well, currently the rules allow them to stay here once they've set foot on our soil and come back later for a hearing. What like 50% never show up, but
they have to say certain things, and there's a lot of discussion out there, and maybe you guys can clear that up. Maybe it's really not happening, but we keep hearing out here in the cheap seats that people are being coached on the other side of the border. Yeah. Okay, when you get there, tell them this, and this, and they come with a script.
Let me do the 30,000 foot, and then Bruce can fill it all in and make me look smart.
Good plan.
Under, if that's possible, under in the Obama regime, they know for a fact, this has been proven, that they advertised in way down south Mexico, southern Mexico is what I'm saying, Mexico City and even further south, on billboards, how to get into America, phone number to call, stuff like that. Yeah, that's fact.
That's helpful. Not my,
yeah.
You too.
Well, let me speed it. Let me speed it up now and say what's taking place even today are those same billboards have popped back up, as well as coaching centers where people come in and they are instructed, coached as to how to make this migration north, and then what to do to get across the border if they get across the United States or southern border, and then how to claim asylum. They're given sheets of like 8.5 by 11, and on the sheets are instructions that they're to follow specifically. Don't make up anything. Stay right with this sheet. They somewhat memorize it because when they get caught, if they're across the border and into Arizona, Mexico, New Mexico, Texas, etc., they then claim asylum following the rules that they have been taught, coached, however you want to say it. And that creates a real quagmire, and Bruce can go ahead and fill in some of the real specifics, because they were trying to sever this overall policy of acceptance that began, really, Bruce is correct, 30 years ago, but really stepped up under the Obama regime. The philosophy behind this is really what I said in the beginning, to collapse the border. There is not to be a border or national sovereignty. This is still very, very difficult for Americans to grasp. They just can't grasp it. But the fact of the matter is, you've got socialists and Marxists in Congress and in other positions in the border states, be it city mayors, etc., who are absolutely pushing for not only open borders, but for the collapse of our American principles and heritage, etc. And this is so difficult for Americans to grasp. We can't grasp that there'd be people in elected offices, even in American, United States elected offices, that are actually working to thwart the United States system of government. But it's true. And they have incredible power, influence, networking, finances. It's a win-win all the way down the road for them. And they're utilizing that in an extremely sophisticated manner, not to recruit, but once the people have made the decision to get out of Honduras, wherever, they come and they migrate toward southern Mexico, and then they conjugate there, and that's where they begin to be met and coached, et cetera, as they make their way the 2,500 miles north to our southern border. And by the time they get to our southern border, they're pretty adept. They're not that ignorant. And again, and I think Bruce pointed this out really well, this is not like it was 10, 20 years ago where you had the poor migrant lettuce worker who would come up during the lettuce season, pick lettuce in America, American wages, and then go back during the off season. That's not what's taking place. We've got people from Africa, from the Middle East. We've got, that's a whole show, and Bruce is right. That's a show in itself specifically to deal with the terrorists, the known terrorists who are coming across our border specifically to infiltrate the United States, and they're caught in these large caravans. When you have caravans of 10, 15,000, 16,000, which we've reported on accurately, not made up numbers, accurately, restricted reports have worked their way all the way up to the top, as Bruce knows, because we've all discussed this and looked at them. And yeah, when those numbers are accurate, and you're looking at large caravans, and in those caravans are not only gangsters, but and army personnel, but you've got actual known terrorists who are an anathema to the United States. This is quite a crisis. But they're all coached well before they get up here.
Yes, and once they know how to game the system, they're let in through various sundry organizations that work as single cell or work with, you know, sophisticated cartels. Now, the cartels themselves, if we look at the Gulf cartel or the Zetas in particular, they were trained by the Americans, our CIA and our military special forces.
That's
once
correct.
They broke off from their government to form a cartel, now we have commandos that are leading the Zetas. So that's a, see, when I start talking about it, then we get off track of the asylum. But these people in and of themselves are supporting the efforts. The cartels in their areas, they're supporting probably close to a quarter of a million people that are working with the cartels in this functional capacity, directly or indirectly. So if we're looking at operations and how the system is working and who's involved, sometimes people work with it part-time, and they're a smuggler, or part-time as a mule for drugs, or full-time as a lieutenant that gets part-timers to work mules for drugs or smuggling people. It's coming in and out at different sectors, at different parts of Mexico. As you get closer to the border, it's more organized, more efficient, and highly reconned to have all these things happening to catch our border security off guard and bring people in, bring drugs in, bring arms in, things of that nature.
I think Bruce is, again, once again, opening a profound pathway here, because this is not a bunch of, I don't care if I offend people here, but people need to start getting offended. This is not a bunch of people coming up from countries that, quote-unquote, simply failed and they want a better life. That's hogwash. That's part of the socialist Democrat dribble that they push out there to tug on everybody's hearts. There are those people who want a better life. I agree. We've interviewed some of them on the ground in Mexico. Excuse me. But you have to appreciate a preponderant majority of these people intend to infiltrate the United States of America, have no intention of becoming American citizens or even adhere to American law, culture, principles. None. They'll say so to you. And again, I've had the advantage, Bruce knows this, of having intel actually infiltrate some of the cartel, some of the caravans, and actually interview people on various pathways up here. So we get a consistent story when you interview four or five different caravans, and the same story starts to pop up. They have no interest in becoming American citizens. They have every interest to gaming the system and getting any aid they can get, be it medical or unemployment, which is phenomenal. How does somebody from Honduras collect unemployment insurance when here in America, anyway. And so this
and
is
lots
a, this
of food
is a,
stamps and the tongue of Los Angeles.
Yeah, you're right, Bruce. Yeah, he's right.
The whole
food stamps, housing
things,
housing
in place there.
Credits. Oh yeah.
And here so we have people that live in this country who've worked here for years and who are struggling and.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to them that we're just letting people waltz across the border and then handing them everything.
Well, it makes no sense, Aaron, but you know something I have to tell you? I don't see the American people pissed off just yet. I really don't. And until they really, really find out what's going on to them and how they're being sold down the drain, and they really are, and what this is going to cost them.
Well, I think the demonizing of people by calling them all racists and all that sort of thing, I mean, let's face it, if you're going to run a strategy that works, that's the one, because people are kind of cowed into silence. They're not having these conversations.
I don't know any Americans that I grew up with, you know, that are prejudiced, racial, or discriminate. We've gone past that 40 years ago.
Right.
These arguments are so old, but it appears to work for people who tend to not be educated in our American history and grown up being mature and understanding the dynamics that we suffered as a country, making sure that everybody could get a free education, become part of the system, have economic freedom. That's all part of what we do. That's the function of how we look at things. The Wall Street Journal Heritage Foundation comes out with their Index of Economic Freedom and how that is the key essential factor in making people understand that they have individual sovereignty, freedoms, and liberties. What Lyle is saying, and I wholeheartedly agree with him, we're losing those individual liberties, sovereignties, and freedoms because people aren't understanding our culture, they're not taking part, and they're living off the government system. There you have it in a nutshell, where we're looking at close to, I can go 600 to 800 billion dollars. And that, if you look at the cost of the wall, 20 billion, that's like a year that we're talking about. That's a one-time cost. We're going against a, you know, a large figure there. And some people argue it's different in smaller amounts, but you got to take into account people that are in our federal penitentiaries that are illegal aliens, the cost of that, the cost of transporting them to the prisons. You got ICE, the cost to ICE, not being able to do their jobs. You got overtime, you got ICE not being able to look directly into the court system. They have to operate out. How much waste of time and money and efforts just to ICE is going on? That's what
actually,
I'm saying.
Actually, that's something we don't hear a lot about. When we come back, go into that a little bit more, Bruce, and explain that. Because I know you guys deal with this all the time, but out here, we don't always hear about that stuff. We're going to be right back. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
We're the man of free house and deal. Bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps now. He's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid. Cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese. Don't cross the river if you can't swim the tide. Don't try to deny a living on the other side. Don't cross the river if you can't swim the tide. Don't try to deny a living on the other side. Don't cross the river if you can't swim the tide.
We need alligators or piranhas. Anyway, to go with that song. Bruce, talk to us about...
We were talking about the inability of ICE to perform their job, the inability of ATF to do their job, the inability of the DEA to do their job. So let's start with ICE. ICE was... there's a case that came up just recently in Boston where a judge, and I guess it was her bailiff, were arrested for obstruction of justice because they allowed... the illegal alien out the back door, and they were waiting in the front. This is going on all the time. They're not allowing ICE to do their job.
Why would law enforcement? I mean, I could see it if this was. I get that some of them are appointed by political people, but I don't understand why anyone in law enforcement would want someone who was a criminal alien to be let loose back in their society after they had committed a crime. Why would they do that? Maybe
well,
that's...
you have to ask the judge.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's like a bigger question.
I mean, that's not the rule of law. And that's what they got caught on the rug for. And that's in all the sanctuary cities. They're
right.
Doing that all the time. And states. So you have a whole slew of things. Now you have our great DEA and ATF agents. Some of them are my friends, you know. And they're out there doing their job. But what's holding them up are people who are doing that in the court system, or they can't enforce the law, or people are just outright corrupt. They're working with the cartels. So they have to face a lot of impediments before they can actually do their job. Because if somebody's corrupt, and say there's a border security agent corrupt, or a town mayor that's corrupt on the border, on the U.S. side and on the Mexico side, and they're working together, you're going to have to, you know, find out how that's going down, and you allocate resources. Now, what we need, and this is what Lyle and I and Chuck have been talking about, is adding more border security people on the border. So if you do have criminal types in border security itself, our law enforcement, they will not be able to do the same kind of criminal activity because they're going to have everybody looking over their shoulder. Just by a matter of numbers, that illegal activity stops and they'll get turned in. So, and this happens also in the larger communities. So these border towns in Calamex where, you know, they got tunnels coming through and a whole series of human smuggling, drug smuggling, arms trafficking. So we know these kind of activities. So we're talking about ATF. ATF can do a better job if they're allowed to do their job and enforce what they need to do, given the restraints that are placed on them when they're out in the field. Now, they're tough characters. You know, I was recruited by them like when I was 30 years old. So I was doing other things. But they're just amazingly American patriots who are looking at people violating the law for arms trafficking. That's also tobacco, you know, and other things. But, you know, that's what we know them for when we're talking about border security. So,
in real life,
do you have any other questions regarding our inability to enforce the law through our different departments and agencies, not having enough personnel on the borders, not giving the personnel the ability to do their jobs in the court system itself? I mean, that's a whole area that's been usurped, undermined, and, you know, not following the basic constitutional law, our rule of law.
Well, help me out. Things have gotten so screwed up, we don't even know what's supposed to be happening. So in real life, I mean, back
in real life, none of this would happen.
Right. But like back in the days before we had sanctuary cities and all that, how did it really work? Somebody went to court, they were an illegal, they committed a crime. I don't know why they were let go. Maybe they didn't have enough evidence, or maybe they made a plea deal, or maybe something like that. So the person, the illegal alien, was going to walk out of court.
Running billion-dollar operations, so anybody caught as a cartel member has a great lawyer backing them up.
Sure. So then, in the olden days, when they left court,
I mean, and then there might be a person in that area that's law enforcement that's on the take. So you get all these countervailing situations where the cartels are working with the local street gangs. And street gangs can put pressure on families.
Sure, but I mean, take all that out for a second. In real life, without those types of impediments,
unreal life, okay.
And we weren't and there wasn't a sanctuary city idea right before that existed. So this person would leave the courthouse for whatever reason, right? Whether we agree with it or not, they would leave the courthouse. The ICE guys used to. I'm guessing have the ability to pick them up and deport them? Is that what used to happen?
Yeah, or go to jail. I mean, it depends on what, you know. They
right, but
to,
they weren't turned back into society. They were either deported or put in jail.
That's the point.
Okay.
I think Lyle can bear a force on that point, too. We follow the rule of law, and if they committed a crime, they have to go to jail and to make sure that they're serving their time for the crimes they are committed.
All right, we're gonna hit a hard break in a couple of minutes, but Lyle, why don't you take us to that point?
Well, no, a simple reason or a simple answer to your penetrating question, Aaron, is that we didn't have the numbers back then that we're having now.
Oh,
500,000 illegals in what, 3 months? January, February, March, April, okay, 4 months. 500,000? Well, we didn't used to see those types of numbers for a whole year, much less 4 months. And those are the only ones that have been caught and or have been interdicted in some way. And I might mind to share with you that all across the border on the southern side, there are communities being established from Tijuana down to McAllen, Texas, all over across, much like the Gaza in Israel, where you've got combatants ready to cross the desert into Israel. Well, you've got the same thing here, developing. You've got camps of large numbers just touching the border, ready to come across whenever they can have that opportunity. We haven't had that before. We haven't had the inundation of numbers that we're experiencing now. So that also clogs up the system. And then what Bruce said also is absolutely correct. If you've got a political system that with politically corrupt judges and others, then you're sunk.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Well, I wanted to also add, it's not 1960s or 70s. It's a cartel who has grown in stature and power and influence in our country. And they have billions of dollars at their disposal.
That's exactly
can pay
right.
off, you know, law enforcement. It's not, you know, $400,000 or $500,000. I don't even bat an eye, you know. So
I know you're taking a hard break, but real quickly, what Bruce is saying there, we have cartels in America that are communicating and set up a network for the cartels helping the illegals come across. It is my and Bruce has read my classified reports that went up to the White House, etc. So Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I'm very clear in saying that it was our belief system based on overflights, based on interviews, based on other evidence that they were reinforcing the cartels already in America here, as well as other subversive groups with new soldiers, if you'll allow me that terminology. So that's part of the rub of getting these people across the border and into the United States is the cartels, the MS-13s, and the other types of domestic terrorists are looking to
establish a base of operations.
What was it, Bruce?
Establish a base of operations.
Yes, to establish a base of operations, but also to implement more personnel on the ground here in America. So a lot of these people coming across, they have no intention of becoming good Americans. They are part of a subversive organization, subversive network, a domestic terrorist network that intends to attack the United States.
And with enough women and children for cover, you know, they can slide
that's
in.
That's all window dressing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. We've got the next hour with Bruce Moran and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.